Are you excited to have the Word of God planted in your hearts today? I know I started with that last time, but yes, God, every time we hear your Word, let it grow in our hearts. God, I just pray your hand on this message today, Lord. I just pray that me as well, as we receive this, Lord, that you would accomplish what you want to accomplish with your Word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Last time, we've been covering for a few weeks this whole concept that Paul is talking about the Philippian church. You know, he's talking about pressing on, forgetting what's behind, and going towards the upward call, the heavenly call, this divine call on your life. He's talking about Jesus taking a hold of your life for a purpose. I want to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me, is the way he phrased it. That God called you for more than just sitting in a pew, for more than just getting to heaven when you die. God called you for a purpose. Say purpose. There's a purpose for your life. And then last week we finished that little section with, let us live up to what we've already attained. Come on, level up. And this whole montage of Paul's exhortations here is really meant to instruct us that you got a choice. Look at your neighbor, say, it's your choice. It's your choice how high you live. Do you want to be wallowing in the mud with mud wallowers? Because that's where the mud wallowers wallow, is in the mud, in the muck. We can live down there, or we can live up. Well, I'm just not one of those spiritual people. Come on. You are one of those spiritual people. Paul's saying, come on, live up. You are one of those spiritual people. If you're not, you don't go to heaven. End of story. Oh, well, then I'm one of those, right? Can I change my answer? Good thing we're using pencil today. You are one of those spiritual people. And Paul is saying, you've got a choice in this. You've got a choice to press on. You've got a choice to persevere. You've got a choice to live for some lowly, meager, little human kind of way of living, or to live up to what we've already attained, to live up, to shore up and gird up your loins. You know, one of the verses in the Bible says, you know, but to live up to what other people have attained for us, for what the righteousness of God has bought for us, for what the victories that we've attained in our life already, live up to that. Well, Paul didn't just stop there and leave us hanging. We're not even going to read any of last week's scripture. We're going right on to new scripture today. Right on to new scripture. He says in Philippians 3, 17, 18, and 19, he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I've often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. All right, let's take off a bite-sized chunk of this and see what God has to say to you and me today. Let's look at this first part. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model. See, Paul figured out that God had designed us to learn and to be transformed in multiple different ways. Sometimes the revelation of God shows up and we're just transformed. Sometimes people pray for us, like my story that I shared earlier, and we're transformed. Sometimes we repent and we're transformed. Sometimes we learn something and we're transformed. Like, oh, man, just, you know, Taylor was just telling me the other day about something. He's like, Dad, the light bulb just came on. He's like, I get it. Like, and just it's really like that made a connection. And so now he's doing something differently. Sometimes it's information, right? Paul was leveraging the way that God designed us. Church is meant to be done together. Amen. Yeah. Church is meant to be done together. You can maybe get to heaven without coming to church, but man, you're going to miss out on so much of what God has for you, and we're going to miss out on so much of what you have for us. God has called us to gather. Gather. It's a gathering. This is a gathering. We want to come here and share our gifts with one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, so we don't have to do this alone. And Paul knew how we were built, and obviously writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, but he knew that sometimes we need the influence and the example and the model of someone else to be transformed. We can't just sometimes just know enough. Sometimes we don't just need more prayer. Sometimes we don't just need a God moment. I mean, we love all those things, and those are all very important means of transformation. But Paul is saying, I called you to press on and to live to the heavenly calling and to live upwards and to live up to what we've already attained, right? All of those things. Live for the purpose that Jesus has for you. And then he just didn't stop there. He said, let me give you a tool to see that happen. Follow my example. Let me be a model for you. Not a model like runway model, like a model as in an example of what godly living looks like, what victorious living looks like, what spiritually healthy living looks like, what a vibrant walk with Jesus looks like. Let me be that model for you. Tony Cook, in his book, In Search of Paul, he says, much of who you are today is an accumulation of countless influences that you've been exposed to throughout the course of your life, right? Some of those good, some of those bad. We've been influenced. Anyone ever had a bad friend? You don't have to raise your hand, but right? Anyone ever let someone, maybe raise your hand for this one, because this could be a long time ago and no one, the statute of limitations is all done. Anyone ever let a friend talk you into doing something dumb? Yeah. Don't have to raise your hands for this one. Anyone been the friend that talked someone into doing something? Yeah, exactly. You're those people, aren't you? Yes, you're not the innocent bystanders that got influenced. You're the bad people. No, I'm kidding. But there's this influence of our parents and our teachers and those that we respect and admire and kind of our, you know, our heroes or whatever, you know, whether it's sports or music or whatever it is. Like, those people influence us. And even if we're strong and say we're not influenced, you are. We did years and years and years ago, we used to get the Enjoy Life Club cassette tape every month. That tells you how long ago that was. And I would love every time that came, once a month, it would come and we subscribed to it, paid for it. And so the church mail would come in, I'd see that little package. And so I'd run over, it was John Maxwell teaching on leadership. And his famous phrase is leadership is influence, is all about influence. So we did some influence experiments around here for a while. Like, I kind of did, just as I was learning. I would do different things and see how people would react. It's incredible how much influence, how you can influence the masses just with simple things. It was nothing bad or whatever, but just trying to get people to sit different places or do different things in the parking lot or go in, like, different traffic flow or responses without telling them I was doing that, just to see if it would naturally happen when you do different. It was crazy, the influence that you're always having on people and that people are having on other people without even really knowing it. Without even really knowing it. That's the thing. Jonathan Edwards, the famed pastor and theologian during America's Great Awakening, made it a point that if he saw or heard anything praiseworthy in another person, he would seek to embrace it and embody that trait. Likewise, if he was aware of a negative trait in another person, he would determine not to replicate it. He was conscious of other people's influence. And he's like, ooh, you're really good at saying thank you. Okay, how can I implement that in my life? Because I know how that made me feel. Oh, you're really good at showing up early. No, you are. I've got a bunch of verses for you today. I was tempted to apologize, but I get yelled at every time. Don't you ever apologize for giving us more Bible verses or whatever. I've got anytime I find something in the scripture, especially when I think we might have a preconceived idea about it or react against it a little bit, and then I end up in my preparation for these messages finding so much wealth of consistency in the scriptures, I like to overload that just to show you that this thread runs throughout the Bible. And so I've got a bunch of scriptures today. I'm going to try my best to keep you awake. I'll probably fail, but I'm going to give it my best effort. But one of these other scriptures, and this idea about being a model and being an example and, you know, follow my example, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul is writing here. He said, you know how we lived. You watched our way of life. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And listen to this. Follow along now. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. Just stop and think for a second. These new Christians were imitating Paul. Paul was saying, you guys watched how we lived. You watched how we prayed. You watched how hard we worked. you know, when I was making tents. You watched when I was done with that, you know, and I had my sweat rags, and my life was so anointed that people took them and gave them to other people, and they got healed. You watched how we went into the synagogue, and we opened up the scriptures. You watched how we had supper after that, and we laughed, and we didn't tell nasty jokes, and we encouraged one another, and we were honoring. You watched how we loved each other. You watched how when we had conflict, you watched how we resolved that in a godly way. You watched all these things of my life. And not only did you imitate the Lord, you imitated us. You imitated the apostles. You imitated Paul and his group around him. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. It goes on. Now watch. So he's saying, you watched us, and then you imitated us. Now watch. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Hold on. Paul's saying, I was the model. Me and my buddies, we were the model. You watched our lives, and then you imitated us. And then we left, and you became the model. You became the model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you. The Lord's message rang out from your lives. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Why? Because you purposed in your heart to pay attention to what Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and whoever else was doing. You're like, oh, that's how you do this Jesus thing. Okay. Oh, and I'm going to watch Jesus too, because, you know, we're following the Lord. But I'm going to watch these examples, and I'm going to replicate things that they do in their life and put that into my life. And all of a sudden, one day when I wasn't even looking, I became an example to someone else. And in this case, lots of someone else's. Throughout that whole section of the world, their faith became known. Why? Because they were living it out. They followed the example of godly men before them and women, and now they're living it out. And they're not trying to be a model, but they are. Because of their consistent walk with Christ, they've become a model of holy living to believers everywhere. Henrietta Mears says, you teach a little by what you say. You teach most by what you are. Because that's true, and that is true. Because that, like, if you're a parent, this stuff like this just terrifies you. Because you're like, oh, man, I've got some good lectures for my kids. But you know that most of that is just going, and they're just watching you. Well, you know, Dad, we're just going to be like you when we grow up. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help us. Let's have a special prayer meeting for that right now. Right? Teach a little by what you say, because you do, but you teach most by what you are. And Paul was commending them for following his example and then themselves becoming examples of faithful, holy, righteous Christian living, vibrant, thriving Christ following. He's like, you watched us do it. Now you're doing this stuff, and people are watching you. And then they're going to follow your example, and then they're going to become an example. Right? Isn't that how legacy is passed on? Isn't that how generational curses are broken? Isn't that how thriving God life happens? The answer is yes. Yes, it is. Because of this. People are watching. And you don't always know that they're watching. And I've shared this, you know, before, but Marnie and I just, every once in a while, someone comes up to us that we have no idea. You know, maybe sometimes it's an acquaintance. Sometimes it's someone we hardly even know. And they'll just say, we're watching you guys. Please don't. Right? Could you watch, you know, turn on the TV or something. Like, just do something different, because that's creepy. I mean, we're just kidding, but kind of not, though. But people are watching you. People are watching how you handle different situations. People are watching when you're in crisis. People are watching when you're in blessing. People are watching how you pray. They're watching how you live. They're watching how you work. They're watching when you hit your thumbnail with a hammer. They're watching how you drive. Lord, we need revival. They're watching what you say and then looking at what you do. They're watching. People are watching. D.L. Moody says, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. Yuck. but good. Come on. That's why we're always just week after week after week. I mean, we've kind of got one message. Live for Jesus, right? Come on, it starts in here. It starts there at the cross, but then it gets worked out in here. Inside out. Like inside out. That's how this gospel works. Inside out. Change our hearts so that our actions change, right? Change our minds so we think differently. Change our desires so that we desire God things, right? It happens inside out. D.L. Moody, got a couple of his quotes today. The eyes of the world are upon us. They don't read the Bible, but they read you and me. And we talk more by our walk than in any other way. We are living epistles, known and read of all men. People are watching. How are we living? What a great opportunity to be a witness for God without even saying something sometimes. To let them watch our lives, be an example, be a model all throughout this world. Let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians 4:15-17 says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. He's talking about relationship here. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to what? Imitate me. Guys, this is all over the place. You know, people are like, look, we'll read the rest of that verse in a second. Just look at me for a second. It's been a rough few years for Christian leaders. Oofta. It is just all over the place in the news. Oh, another guy fell. Oh, this ministry is no more. Oh, wow, scandal here and whatever. And man, a couple of those really hit my heart. It was people that I respected. And I'm like, really, that was all going on behind the scenes? And so often we hear, hey, that's why you got to keep your eyes on Jesus and not look at men. And that's true to a point. And that's why it's easy to kind of react against a message like this. Well, you can't be looking at people. Like, we're all sinful, fallen people walking by the grace and the life and the glory of God, right? We have well-exercised repenters, right? We've got a repenter in us, and we want to keep that thing oiled up, right? We have our ears tuned to the Holy Spirit. We're in the Word of God so that He can talk to us in more ways than one. We're constantly in the Word. You're not saying amen very much here, but we're constantly in the Word of God so that the Lord speaks. So we're constantly in the Word of God so that the Word reads us as we read the Word of God. But we're still human. And so we can react to this and say, yeah, we can't be looking at people. We got to look at God. And there's an element of truth in that. And yet, all throughout the scripture, we find that you're going to see more verses over and over. Follow my example. Look at our example. Be a model. Be an example to that. Like look at them. Look at us. And you're going to see that over and over again. And part of me wants to go, yeah, but you shouldn't look at people. I didn't write the Bible. So it's right there in black and white and yellow. I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I've sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of what? My way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Look at this. It agrees. My life, do you see? Does anyone know where I'm pointing here? It agrees. My life agrees. My life agrees with what I say. I don't tell you one thing and then live a whole different way. I don't tell you what you should be doing and then go off and do something opposite, right? That is one of the greatest ways to develop rebellion and a rebellious spirit and a not a kingdom atmosphere. Paul's saying, you know what? You know how I lived. Imitate me. And Timothy, he'll remind you about my way of life, how I walk with Jesus, how I work, how I love, how I serve, how I give, and how that agrees with what I'm teaching. Do our words agree with what our life looks like? Francis Folks says, it was as much necessary for Paul to live the kind of Christian life that others could follow as it was for him to preach a pure gospel for them to believe. They needed to see it lived out. And I tell you what, America in 2020 needs to see it lived out. Man, they've seen enough Fruit Loops, right? They just don't have time. Like, they don't even care anymore. Like a long time ago, they stopped even like God, Shmod, whatever. Let's show them, because they're not listening anymore. Let's show them. Let's show them with lives that are pure and that are loving and that are genuine and that are transformed. Let's show them. I love this. I don't know who either of these guys are, but Gregory of Nazianzus was speaking of Basil of Caesarea and said, his words were like thunder because his life was like lightning. Wow. Isn't that cool? Like, I wanted to hear what this guy had to say because I knew how this guy lived. Right? Yeah. I wanted to hear what this guy had to say because I knew how he lived. His life was like lightning. That made his words like thunder. It wasn't about personality. It wasn't about creative ways of saying that. It was about living it out. And you went, oh, that's a man of character and of influence and of godliness. I want to know what he's saying. Charles Spurgeon says, our whole life must be such as to add weight to our words. Our life should be adding weight to what we say. And in reverse, we shouldn't be saying silly things that don't line up with our life as well. Let the message of Christ be pure in our hearts and in our lives. So the kingdom of God is designed to work through this way of modeling. Let me show you just a couple verses real quick. You see this verse where Jesus is saying, Jesus gave him the answer in John 5:19. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what? What he sees the Father doing. The Father is doing things. And then Jesus is, in a sense, I mean, this isn't a one-for-one example here, but Jesus is, in a sense, imitating that. He's following the example of his Father, right? Father God is doing, like, that's what this says. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. God is doing something. Jesus follows that. And then 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So Christ is following the Father. Paul is following Jesus. And Paul is telling us, follow me. And he's saying also that then you guys are being an example and people will follow you and become like Christ. That's why it's so important. We're not an island. We can't just hit the no influence button. I want my life to kind of be a train wreck for a while, and I don't want it, but I don't want to influence anybody else to make bad decisions. So I'm just going to push the pause button. I won't influence anybody else. See that? We don't get that luxury. When we go down bad paths, we influence other people. We never do that on a solo run. We're never alone. We might feel alone, but we're never alone in our influence. We're always affecting people. And that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. In Hebrews, we see this verse. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate that. Imitate their faith. Copy that. Follow their example. Look at their life. See what they're doing. See what the outcome of that lifestyle is. And then imitate that. Copy that. Look to people that are living for the Lord. And then let that be an inspiration and an example to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Told you there was a lot of verses. You, however, this is Paul writing again. You, however, know about... He's talking to his protege, Timothy. Right? And he's saying, Timothy, you know me. You know me. You've seen me. You've walked with me. Look at what he says. You know my teaching. You know what I say. And you know my way of life. That's what he talked about earlier, that my teaching and my way of life lined up. They were in sync. But he says, you know about my purpose. Timothy, you know about my faith. How many of us would put this on Facebook or in a letter? You know about my patience. I would, but there would probably be like one more word, like lack or, you know, whatever. You know about my patience. Timothy, you know how I've loved. Right? This is just this vulnerable model of Paul reaching out to Timothy. Hey, Timothy, do you remember my endurance? Now, it seems like he's boasting, but he's not. He's saying, you model what I've modeled for you. Remember when I just couldn't go on anymore, and I did? Hey, remember that? Hey, Timothy, remember when I didn't think I could go on again, and I did? Timothy, hey, you remember that other time when I didn't, like, I pressed on my endurance. He's saying, Timothy, you remember those persecutions? Remember when that guy came and burned all my Bibles, right? Remember when that other guy slashed my camel tires, right? He just... Yeah, I thought that was funnier than that, but that doesn't matter. You're like, all of you are like, camels don't have tires. My sufferings, you remember what kind of things happened to me? Like, he names specific, he's like being generous, but he's got specific things in mind here. You know what happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and the persecutions I endured? Timothy, do you remember when the Lord rescued me from them all? Copy that. Imitate that. Timothy, you remember? It was tough. Remember being in the middle of that? And we're like, how is this ever going to end? And you remember the Lord rescued me from them all? Timothy, you remember that? Man, that was fun. Or not so much, the persecutions part. But you remember that? Do you remember how that, do you remember what I said in those times? Do you remember how I acted? Do you remember my prayers? Do you remember walking in on the room when I was crying out to the Lord, asking if this was ever going to end? Do you remember that? Do you remember when I was weeping at the altar and I said, Jesus, I don't think I can do this anymore? Timothy, you listening? Are you still listening, Timothy? Do you remember that? Do you remember when God rescued me from all of that? Let me be that example for you, Timothy. Go do that. Go, what I did, you go do that. Isn't that powerful? This flesh and blood example for us. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone, Paul's telling Timothy this now, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. He's just saying, let the whole of your life be an example. He's doing that thing again. I was a model for you, Timothy. Now you go be a model for others. You set an example for others. You be that model for others. You set the bar for others. Don't live down to where other people are. Live up. Live up to what you've already attained. Live that walk with Christ up here, heavenward, high calling, purposeful living. Live up here, and then you can be that example, and you'll call others up with you instead of wallowing in the mud. So going back to Philippians again, he said this. So, you know, our example and our model. He says this, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Keep your eyes, or some versions say, mark those who live like we do. So the question is, why would we take our eyes off of those who live like that? Any thoughts on that? Paul's saying, make sure you keep your eyes on them. Sometimes we get jealous. Sometimes we get distracted, and there's that ever allure of the carnal nature that's always wanting to turn our eyes onto other things. And I don't know about you, but how many of you like to take shortcuts? Sometimes, not only driving, but sometimes in life, we like to find the quick and easy way to do something. Well, I know you need to bake it at 350 for 4 hours, but what if I bake it at 500 for a half hour? Right? We're always looking for shortcuts, and it captures our gaze to find something that's easier or better or more appealing in the moment. Paul's saying, no. Come on. Keep your eyes on those, because you need to be encouraged to walk holy, to walk righteous, to walk faithful, to walk in endurance, to walk in humility, to walk in confidence in your faith, to walk in faithfulness. You need to have an example. You need to be encouraged. So make sure you keep your eyes on those people. Like, watch them and see that they have struggles, but they persevere through them and they come out on the other side and Jesus rescues them from them. Albert Barnes writes, there are usually two kinds of professing Christians in every church. Those who imitate the example of our Savior and those who are worldly and vain. The exhortation here is to mark or keep our eyes on, that is, to observe with a view to imitate those who live as the apostles did. We should set before our minds the best examples and endeavor to imitate the most holy people. So, then we move on in Philippians and we find there's some bad characters. And we're going to zip through this part pretty quick. But Paul writes, for I've often told you before and now tell you again with tears that many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Paul's saying, like, man, right in the middle of you guys, there's going to be people like that. And you just got to watch out for them, because it's easy for your life to get tainted and pulled back down and to get influenced. This whole thing is about influence. And it's about watching the right examples. Chuck Smith says, you know, there are a lot of people who talk a lot about Jesus Christ, but are enemies of the cross. That's what Paul was just saying. They're enemies of the cross. Listen to what Chuck says. I love how he phrases this. That is, they still want to live life after the flesh so bad that the idea of being crucified with Christ, the death of the old life, the death of the old man, the death of the old flesh life is irritating to them. They don't want to hear it. They are enemies of that message. Francis again writes, Paul's addressing the problem in the church at Philippi that there were these men whose conduct was an open scandal to the gospel and who by their lives showed themselves to be enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul says that a good antidote to these evil examples is a good example, right? So we can holler and scream and yell at people that they're going to hell or whatever, or we can just level up our lives. And if pretty soon there's 10 times as many good examples as there are bad ones, the bad people are going to get convicted. They're going to, right? God's going to take care of stuff. Paul says a good antidote to these evil examples is a good example. Paul wants us, listen, he wants his life not to be admired, but to be imitated. You're going to live an entirely different way if you're looking for admiration or if you're looking for imitation. I hope you're still listening. Are you still with me? Imitation versus admiration. Listen to that last line. All men will imitate someone. So, closing up here. Live up by following holy examples. Listen to this. One great tool to deal with a weak area in my own life is to find someone else's life, someone whose their life is strong and overflowing in that area, and learn from them. This is the last section here. Find people. So this is on you. It's all on you guys. This is on you. This is a challenge for you guys. If we're going to follow out this scripture, if we're going to let the word of God plant in our heart and then see some action from this, then I need to seek out people in my life that I can develop a relationship and learn from. People that, I'm going to give you some examples. There's hundreds, but I'm going to give you a screenful just so you can put some meat to this. And that once this slide is full, we're done. But I want to give us something to put our teeth in. So find someone whose lifestyle is Christ-like and learn from them. That's what Paul is saying. Watch them as they follow Christ. Do you know someone who's living well for Jesus, who just seems to have a lot of victories in their life, who seem to overcome obstacles? Not that they've got a perfect life. In fact, man, they've got a tough job, but they come home just singing Jesus' praises all the time. And sometimes they're discouraged, but you know, sometimes they're not. And sometimes they're really affecting people. They're walking with Jesus. Find someone like that and say, listen, I tried that. That's really hard. How do you do it? Right? Invite them to coffee. Buy them lunch. Say, can we go talk for a little bit? And they're going to be so blown away. They're going to be like, why? What do you want? Here's like nothing. I just want to, like, don't be weird, but like, how do you do that? Like, maybe this is a weird question, but how long have you been walking with Jesus? Well, I don't know, 20 years. How have you done that? You seem to do it well. How do you, what's some tips? And just get a pen and paper, write stuff down or type it in your phone. You're looking at me like you think I'm just kidding right now. I'm serious as anything right now. Go to Rosalie's, invite someone to lunch there and ask them how they live for Jesus well. We in 2022, we're like, hey, you do you. I'm going to do it. Don't be no one. You don't judge them and let me be me. And that's between me and Jesus. Come on, get into someone's business. Be humble. Say, man, I want to do this Jesus thing well. You look like you've got a handle on it. And they're going to be like, not me. You're like, no, I've been watching you. And then they're going to get really creeped out. And say, well, what do you love to eat? Can we go for a drive? They're not going to go for a drive with you. So let's maybe start with lunch, because now they're really afraid of you. But just say, you know what? Can I just, like, there's no way I can phrase this. It's not going to sound even more creepy. But, you know, can I just be around you for a while? No, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get a restraining order. Do it in a way that doesn't end up with the police involved. But just say, you know what? I'd like to rub shoulders with you a little bit. Can I come to your house and watch you? It's just getting weirder by the minute. Find someone whose speech is gracious. The Bible says that though the man whose speech is gracious will have the king for a friend. You're going to have high influence if you have gracious speech. I'm just going to say, like, setting the bar low. Like, you can't, on camera, you can't even see that. You want to set the bar low? Just stop using the F word. Make have some stupid, gracious speech. Like, don't just be quick to criticize someone. Don't cut everything down. Don't, like, have some grace in your speech. Let it not just be holy, but let it be gracious. Let it be like waters of life. Just go easy. People are having a tough time these days, right? The world's a mess right now. If your order comes out 10 minutes late and it's wrong, have some gracious speech. Can we do that? Okay, can we try to do that? Let's set the bar really low, right? Can we have some gracious speech? Find someone who does that well and go have lunch with them. Hey, I noticed the other day, you totally got the raw end of the stick, and I watched it all play out, and you talked so nice about that person. I'll tell you what I would have done. Well, that's why you're having coffee with them, right? We know what you would have done. What did they do that was so gracious? And how do you do that? In the middle of that moment, how do you just let good things come out of your mouth? Can you help me? And they'll be like, yeah, it's tough sometimes because I know what's in my head, you know, whatever. They'll give you some tip or some tool. Be around them. And I promise you, your speech will start to change. Like, because you've already had this conversation and you've watched them have gracious speech, you're going to be like, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say something else. And just coming from someone who did not have gracious speech for years, and you're like, really? You do now? I'm working on it. But I've learned so much from watching other people that have gracious speech. And like, I want to talk like you talk. And I've asked people, how do you do that? Like, well, it starts in your thought and you got to have the right heart, right? Right. We talk through that and I keep watching them because I get discouraged. And then I watch them. And I'm like, okay, that's how you respond. Okay, God, and I'll just pray. God, I want to respond like that, like them, like they did. That was gracious. That was good. I like that. People like them. Okay. Find some people whose thought patterns are kingdom minded, right? Some people's minds just always go downward. Take every good thing and it spirals out of control, or they're stuck in things like we talked about this morning, fear or anxiety or negativity or just destruction. Find people who think with big vision and pray big prayers and think differently than the world does. Find people who think like kingdom thinking does, however you say that. Find people whose friendships are rich. Some people are just naturally gifted at making friends, but every one of us, if we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we'll have lots of friends. If we're joyful and loving and kind and gracious and humble and faithful, and right? If we walk like that. And then there's all of these communication tools and ways to make friendships better and richer. Find someone who's got rich friendships. Be like, hey, I know this is weird. Can I come hang out with you guys sometime? Like, I promise I won't be a pest. Like, can I just watch how you... And watch the first time that they have some conflict. Watch how they honor one another. Watch how they defer to the other. You're like, whoa, you should have totally snapped back at him. Yeah, that's why you don't have no friends, right? You're there to learn. Like, how do you let them treat you like that? No, like, that's not how we roll. We're here to help and encourage and bless one another. Oh, well, that's weird. Right? Find someone, like, I'm just giving you guys some examples. I know you're looking at me weird, but, like, I'm so serious about this. Find someone whose marriage is growing. Well, I mean, we're together, whatever, but, man, it seems like they have a lot of fun. It seems like they're just on the same page and they're doing life together. Ask them if you can come to their house. I'm serious. Like, I'm just really serious. Hey, this is going to sound really weird. You and your wife, man, like, I don't know. I'm sure you got your own issues or whatever, but man, it seems like you guys really love each other. Now watch how you look at each other. Watch how you talk to each other. Would you meet with me and my wife? Could, like, do you think Well, we're not counselors. No, that's not what I'm asking. Just, can we just ask you some questions? And then just show up with three or four questions. How do you overcome obstacles? How do you handle disagreements? How do you dream for the future? And find an example that's living out a godly marriage. How do you keep God in the center of your marriage? How do you walk with the Spirit, you know? Find someone whose finances are generous. Man, are you just loaded, or like, I see you're giving all the time to stuff. Is there a mindset? And people that have a gift to be generous, like, they love to help other people get to be generous because they're generous. They're the best of all the ones on the list. That's going to be your easy shot right there, because generous people want to give away their secrets. That's just because they're generous. They want to help you be generous. Find someone whose habits are inspiring. You're like, man, I see that you're up at 5 every day and you're running. Makes me want to vomit. But wow, you're in good shape. How does someone like me get to be, you know? I see that you journal all the time. And every time we talk, you're like, oh yeah, let me tell you this quote that I heard. Like, you're always writing that stuff down. How do you get in a habit of that? Find someone who's like, you have really clean teeth. Like, you know, what do you just, I don't know. Just, you know, someone who has great habits in their life. I see that you pray over noon hour all the time. You know, like how do you get, do you eat later in the day? Like, ask, look for examples, folks. We're just about done. Please stay with me. Find some examples of people who are living the Jesus thing well and talk to them. Can I come to your house? Do you want to come to my house? Can I go for lunch with you? Can we just talk a little bit? I know this is weird, but my pastor said, and he's kind of a goof and whatever, but just, I've got this assignment I'm supposed to do because I want to be more Christ-like and I'm not doing so good myself, but help me in this area. Find someone whose prayer life moves heaven and just get around them. Hey, are you coming to the church to pray later? Are you, sometime when you're praying, can I just be there? And then this one, don't ask questions. Just watch. You see, the disciples watched Jesus pray. They watched him pray. They stumbled in on the garden a couple times. Whoa, oh yeah, the master's praying. Oh, let's just hang back. And of all the things that they asked, that's what they asked. Like, that's like one of the main things. Lord, teach us to pray. We're like, we see your life and we see you move heaven. Teach us to pray. Last one here. Find people whose walk with God is full of God moments. Like, our last God encounter shouldn't be like 1942, right? And we find people that love Jesus. And I'm not trying to, this sounds way more critical than it is. But I'm just trying to call us up higher. There's people all the time that love Jesus with all their heart. But the last time that the Lord spoke to them, or they, you know, saw someone get saved or whatever, like they give, they come to church all the time. But like God's like a buddy that they knew back in college. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not, again, not trying to be, that's not at all like being nasty or whatever. Like, find someone who's just like, man, rich with God experiences. That God just talks to them. That God, they walk with the Lord. Thank you guys for hanging with me. That was a lot of scriptures today. And I just pray that you walk out of here going, I've been thinking for a long, you know what? I've prayed about this area in my life a lot. I've read a book about it. I know so-and-so, they don't struggle with this at all in their life. They just feel like they got this part of their life nailed. Pastor said, go ask them about it. I'm gonna go invite them to coffee. I hope that you're encouraged and challenged to do that, even though it's a little weird. And in 2022, we don't always do that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, the first church did that, and they did it all the time. They watched each other. They looked for, in the middle of bad examples, people weren't living for Jesus at all in their church. And they would find the ones who were living well, and they would say, all right, how are you doing that? Find people who are doing it well and be with them. That's all I wanted to say today. And that's what Paul was challenging the church in Philippi to do, is like, don't get caught up in the junk. Just find the people who are doing it well and learn from them. Amen? God bless these people today. Help us to be great examples and models for others, and help us to seek out those that can spur us on to greater faith and walking out this life with Christ. We bless them today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.